special I'm doing today is called My Song. You know, when you get saved, God gives you that new song. It's a song of the redeemed.
The mountains move at the touch of your hand. The sea is calm by a whisper of your voice. The sky will break with your mighty touch. The trees will bow at your command. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. My strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord? Who is like unto Thee, O Lord? Who is like Thee, perfect in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The deaf will hear, the dumb will speak. The blind will see, the lame will walk. Your healing hand has touched my soul, set me free and made me whole. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord? Who is like unto Thee, O Lord? Who is like Thee, perfect in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The Lord shall reign forever and ever.
Bibles again, please, to Revelation chapter 16. As we've been going through the book of Revelation for some time now, chapter by chapter, we saw at the beginning of chapter 4, when the church was raptured up to heaven, the wrath of God begins to come out. We saw that there was a scroll in heaven and written on both sides, and nobody was worthy to read the scroll, what was written there. But then the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Himself, came, and we saw that the scroll was sealed with seven seals. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, would break a seal, and then we would have John declaring unto us what kind of judgment God was sending upon the earth as each one of those seals was broken. And then the seventh seal revealed seven trumpets, and there were seven trumpets of judgment as well. And when God sounded the seventh trumpet, we saw that the judgment was seven vials or seven bowls of judgments that are going to be poured out upon the earth during the tribulation period. And as we look at these seven judgments, well, this morning we're going to look at six of them. There are seven angels, and each one has a bowl. And in that bowl is the wrath of God. He's going to pour out that wrath on the earth, and we're going to see what kind of judgment each angel has in his bowl of wrath this morning from Revelation chapter 16. And we see some similar judgments to these back in chapter 8, but now they're getting a little bit more intense as we have come beyond the midpoint of the tribulation into what is referred to as the Great Tribulation. If you will notice in chapter 15, verse 7, where we were last week, it says, one of the four beasts, that is the living creatures, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. And here these bowls are, they're full. They're to the brim. God's wrath is about to be poured out. And this word full in the Greek language is a word that has to do with to swell. And the picture that we have here is like the waters coming down into the rivers, and there is a dam holding back the waters. And as the waters begin to swell and swell and swell, there's pressure pushing against this dam. And one day, God's mercy and grace, which serves as that dam, is holding back the judgment of God. One day His wrath is going to be full. It's going to be swelling so much that the dam of His mercy and grace are going to be gone. And all the judgment of God is going to come upon the earth. Habakkuk said in his writing in Habakkuk 3:2, in wrath, remember mercy. He was asking God as He judges to remember mercy. And God, while during this time in which we live, God has tempered His wrath with some mercy. But we read this morning of a time where there is none. In God's wrath, mercy will not be remembered at all. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your wonderful mercy to us. We thank You that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Himself, as He was hanging there on the cross, all of Your wrath was poured out on Him. And for those of us who accept what You have already done in fulfilling the requirements of a holy God, You save us when we accept Your Son's sacrifice for our sin. And Lord, we thank You that we do not have to suffer the wrath of our own sins because Jesus took that for us. And it's because of that we come to worship You and praise You for what You've done for us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at this chapter today, as a way of introduction, as we look at these six of the seven angels and the wrath that they have to pour out, this is a great chapter. Seven things in this chapter are referred to as being great. And verse 1 and verse 7, it says, there is a great voice, and it's coming out of heaven, out of the temple. And this is God's voice. And verse 17, you see it says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple saying, it is done. Kind of reminds us with the voice from heaven when Jesus was on the cross. And God said, it is finished. Jesus cried that. And now it's done. All the wrath of God is going to be poured out here. And so there's a great voice. There is great heat. And we'll see that in a little bit. When one angel pours out his vial of judgment, and men of the earth are scorched there. It says it's a great heat. And verse 12, the Euphrates River is described as being a great river. And verse 14, the day of God Almighty is called a great day of God Almighty. And verse 18, there's a great earthquake. It says like the earth has never seen before. It's going to be a powerful earthquake there. And verse 19, the city of Babylon is called a great city or great Babylon. And then in verse 21, which we'll get to in our next message, the Coles will be here next Sunday, but probably the following one I'll be preaching as well when the missionary comes. We'll look at the hail that is great hail. It says in verse 21 that it's the weight of a talent, which is about 75 pounds. Can you imagine hail coming down and whether it's the size of a bowling ball or a size of typical hail, weighing 75 pounds and hitting upon people, what kind of damage is that great hail going to cause? Well, here we see seven great things, and the word great is the word mega. And we're familiar with the word mega. There it has to do with being great in size or great in volume or great in intensity, great in number. And the greatness of God's wrath and God's holiness is going to be poured out. And so we see that, first of all, in verse 2. We're going to see the first six angels and the wrath that they pour out. And the first one, the wrath of God is going to bring sores on mankind. In verse 2, it tells us that they are noisome and grievous. And it's going to be on those that have the mark of the beast and have worshipped his image. So this is not on believers, even though there will be some believers during the tribulation period. It will not be us. Those of us who are believers now, remember, are going to be raptured whenever we meet Christ in the air when he comes. But during the tribulation period of 7 years, remember there are 144,000 Jews that are going to be preaching the gospel. And then there are God's two witnesses that we saw that will be killed there. They're going to be preaching the gospel. People will get saved, and those who are saved will refuse to take the mark of the beast. Some of those are going to be killed, but some of those will endure to the end, as we read in Matthew. And those who are Satan's followers, who receive the mark of the beast, they're going to receive awful sores. That is the word noisome here. And so we'll see that these are awful sores, and they're agonizing sores. The word noisome means worthless, totally bad. Be like a check that somebody writes that doesn't have any money in the bank. It's bad. It's a bad check. It's worthless there. Oftentimes this word is translated evil, having to do with calamity. The word has to do with evil that is not only within one person, but he contaminates other people with his evilness as well. And so these sores are awful in that they're going to be spreading there. And they are also very grievous. Is the word, has to do with sorrowful pain, some kind of ulcer, maybe like a worse than a skin cancer there. And these are outward sores that's triggered because of some infection inwardly. In Exodus chapter 9, do you remember when God told Moses to deliver the Israelites? And he began to send plagues upon the Egyptians. Remember, one of those in Exodus chapter 9 was what we call boils. In Exodus 9:9, it says, "And it shall become dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace, and they stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it, the ashes, toward heaven. It became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." And that word blain has to do with festering eruptions there. It's something that is very painful and nasty, and it's spreading. And God is going to send to human flesh these boils, and they're going to be miserable here. And that is the first angel as he pours out his vial upon the earth. The second angel comes and he pours out his bowl, his vial. And verse 3, this angel pours his bowl of judgment upon the sea. That is having to do with the salt water there. Notice what it says. He poured out his vial upon the sea. It became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul, that is every living thing, died in the sea. Every kind of fish and all the salt water and all the oceans, every one of them will die. And so think about all of the people in the world that rely upon seafood as their way of nourishment. And so we see this judgment of God. The first one, it comes and it's on their health, on their body. The second one comes and now their food supply is being just taken away. But we also see it will affect something else. Verse 3, it says, it became as blood. It doesn't say that it became blood, but it became as the blood of a dead man. And so when we think about the oceans, might go to meddling a little bit, as they say, and stop preaching and go to meddling a little bit. Fun. Think about how much fun the ocean and going to the beaches. Well, when this comes, people are not going to be going to the beach to worship the sun or to do their sunbathing or seeking pleasure, because the beaches are going to just have the stink of all the dead creatures all around them. And who's going to want to go there and try to have fun there? So God is beginning to bring judgment upon man and his health and upon his food supply and that which he likes to go for fun. And sometimes people joke about hell and they say, well, all my friends are going to be there, so that's where I want to go to. And they think it's going to be fun and they make a joke of it. But there's not a joke when the dam of God's mercy and grace is no longer there. And the wrath of God is poured out there on all of that. Not only will it be sores and on the sea, but verses 4 through 7, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. And so not only do we see the salt water here receiving the wrath of God, but we see the fresh water as well, the streams. Now, it doesn't say that they became as blood. It says they became blood. Literally. Now, verse 5 says, I heard the angel of the waters say. Notice that phrase, the angel of the waters there. It's like God has different jobs or ministries for different angels, and he has an angel that's kind of over the waters and overseeing everything there. And the angel of the waters said, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because you've judged this way, thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They deserve what they are getting here, because they have killed God's people. And they have rejected the blood of Christ that was shed for them on Calvary, and now he's giving them blood and more blood there. And they go to the drinking fountain. Instead of fresh water coming out, there's blood. They go to the river, there's blood. And so God is judging man's health. He's judging his food supply. He's judging the water supply, and it is turned to blood. And as the angel pours out this judgment, we see God's righteousness declared. He says, you are true and righteous. God is righteous in what he's doing now. God has given man years and years and years and thousands of years to receive his mercy and grace, but they've rejected. And God is righteous and true, and his righteousness is declared, and also recompense is declared. It says, they have shed the blood of your saints, God, and you are righteous because they have rejected you. They have rejected your blood, and now they have other blood that you are giving to them, and they cannot escape. Can you imagine the diseases that may come from all of this blood? Whenever his righteousness is declared here in all of these judgments, his righteousness is not declared when the first angel comes with judgment on health, or on the second one with judgment on the sea, but here with the judgment of blood, God's righteousness is declared. And if we are going to have any righteousness at all, the only way we have it is through Christ, isn't it? Because the Bible says all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so it's through the blood of Christ that we have our righteousness that he imputes or gives to us when we're saved. And he says in verse 7, they're right. Your judgments are right. We look at Genesis 18:25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. He's not slaying the righteous. This is only coming on those that have the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. God is too just. He's not going to let the righteous receive this wrath. He says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God will do right. God is going to pour out his wrath. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay all of those who have, whether it's those ISIS or anyone else who beheaded God's people. You've shed the blood of my people, and one day I'm going to give you blood to drink, and you are going to pay. And the judgment of God is going to come on those who refuse his grace and mercy. The fourth angel comes in verse 8. It says, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given him to scorch men with fire. And so now we see the next judgment. Judgment of the sun and the heat of the sun as it comes down there. And it says in verse 9, men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And so we see in verse 8 that this great heat, the scorching of the sun, it comes down and it brings burning and it brings blaming. And people are burning. Have you ever been burned by the sun? Have you ever had a bad sunburn where it started to blister there? Years and years ago, I was a teenager, and I remember getting blistered by the sun. My parents, we have, and it's where they still live now, they had this attic fan, not a ceiling fan. Some of you may remember the old attic fans. Well, it had 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 doors. The hall was very small there, and the fan was in that hall. But if you close all the 4 doors except for the one to my bedroom and open the window, because we didn't have air conditioning, that fan, I mean, it would pull in. You had to put something heavy in front of the door because the curtains would just stand straight out, because it would bring in a lot of, well, that's what I had to do. I had to lie on the bed right in front of that window because I was scorched with the sun. I can't imagine the burning, people being scorched here. And what do? They blame God. It says they blaspheme God. Now, this blame game started back in the garden with Adam and Eve, didn't it? And Adam said, God, the woman you gave me, you know, it's her fault. And the woman said, well, the serpent, he deceived me. And we blame and blame and blame. And sometimes people blame the environment. Whenever counselors are talking with people about all their problems, sometimes they blame the mother and father, you know, for all the things that are wrong with a child. You know, it's just somebody else's fault. People that live ungodless and perverted lifestyles, they say, God made me this way. It's just blaming God. And that's what they're doing here. And God has judged their health. He's judged their food. He's judged their water. He's judged the sun. Think of all those things that people just kind of take for granted, don't we? Health and food and water and the sun. And all the things that have brought blessings to mankind for many years, God is going to take all those blessings of health and food and water and sun, and it's going to be turned into a curse. It's going to be turned into a judgment there. And people begin to blame God, and it certainly won't help, because these that have received the mark of the beast, there's going to be a heat worse than the sun. There's going to be hellfire that will come on those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the judgment of God is not finished. There are 2 more angels to pour out the vials that we'll see this morning. And the fifth one is judgment on the seat of the beast. This refers to his throne, his power, his dominion there. And notice it tells us here, in verse 10, The fifth angel poured out his bowl or his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Full of darkness. Can you imagine full darkness? Total darkness. It's kind of hard. Around here sometimes, if you're up here late at night, there are certain rooms or corners you can go to that are just so dark, you can't even see a thing there. And of course, your eyes start to adjust a little bit. But here, there will not be adjusting to the darkness. His kingdom is full of darkness. When this happens, how much evil do you think will increase on the earth? And people become very fearful. They become desperate. They can't find food. They can't find water. They can't find their way. It's totally dark. God's judgment is coming. Jesus is the light of the world. And they have rejected the light of the world. And he is sending them judgment of total darkness. They have rejected his mercy and grace. They've rejected his blood. And he's sending them blood. In the Bible, we read often where it talks about hell, where it says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 10, it tells us they gnawed their tongues for pain. They haven't been able to eat. They haven't been able to drink. They're dying of thirst, and they're chewing their tongue out of pain. Terrible descriptions. Verse 11. They blaspheme God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. The only one who could save them from those things. And they repented not of their deeds. The only way for man to be saved is to repent. That was the message. John the Baptist says, repent or you shall likewise perish. And part of the perishing of men who reject Christ is this kind of judgment of God. And yea, unfortunately, even worse. And so we see here not only the full darkness, but their fatal deeds. It says they repented not of their deeds. Because their works were evil, they refused to accept the sacrifice that we sang about this morning, that Jewish song, that God had a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But for those who refuse that, they will pay the cost. They had a choice. They could repent or they could go their own way. They chose to blame God and go their own way, and judgment comes. And now we see the sixth angel pouring out his vial, and it is on the great Euphrates, and it is the spirits of devils. You'll see that phrase here as we go to verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Remember, that's the unholy trinity, the counterfeit to God's holy trinity. Satan has his unholy trinity. Verse 14 says, for they are the spirits of devils. Here. And it's poured out on the great river Euphrates, and it says it dries up. The river Euphrates is 1,700 miles long and over a half mile wide. And all the kings of the east, verse 12 says, will come. That is Japan, China, India, Korea. All the kings of the east, the river Euphrates is going to be dried up, so it's no longer a river, but it's a path. It is a road that God puts down to bring all of those armies to Armageddon, to Jerusalem, and they're coming there. And this unholy trinity is working together. It says they're like frogs coming out of the mouth. Frogs are an unclean being. And here, Christ, whenever he comes back to earth, what's coming out of his mouth? A sword. He's coming in judgment. But here out of the mouth where come words, these people are deceiving other people. And then we see that deception. And in verse 14, we see that all the blasphemers are assembled together. And all the kings of the east, they're coming in this path that God has directed everybody to one location. And they're coming for the battle of that great day. And these spirits of demons are doing miracles. Do you know that the devil can do a miracle? If you see a miracle today, it could be of God. God performs miracles. Aren't you glad that God still performs miracles? But don't be deceived. Satan can perform miracles as well. And so that's why the Bible says to try the spirits to see if they're of God. So just because something is miraculous doesn't automatically mean it's of God. Because during the Great Tribulation, there are going to be many miracles and people are going to follow them because they're following them to the battle of Armageddon that we will see in a minute. But in the midst of all of this, verse 15 says, blessed. How in the world can there be blessings with boils all over the bodies and the sun scorching and burning people and all the sea creatures dead and the smell around them and all the fresh water is turned to blood and total darkness? Where is a blessing? And the blessing is pronounced here in verse 15. It says, blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garment. There's a blessing to those who are on earth during this time and have refused the mark of the beast. Those are the ones that will endure to the end and be saved. There's great blessing for them. God has blessings for his people, even in the midst of judgment and persecution and wrath. God has blessings for those of us who are his believers as well. God is one day going to bring forth his judgment, and all those who have rejected him, who have persecuted the saints, God's going to take care of his children. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Are you a child of God? And the last thing we see is in verse 16. Not only during the spirits of devils, the blasphemers assembled, the blessings announced, and the battle of Armageddon. And we'll be looking at that battle of Armageddon as we get into the last part of chapter 16 and into chapter 17 as well. The word Armageddon, it comes from two words. It comes from the word mountain and Megiddo. And there in the valley of Megiddo, which is about 14 miles wide, about 20 miles long, there are some other battles there. In Judges 4, Barak and the Canaanites were there. Gideon and the Midianites, they were in this valley as well. And there's going to come a great battle. It's not going to be much of a battle because the Lord, with the word of his mouth, with the sword coming out, he's going to totally destroy. All of these vials of wrath will be poured out first. But then that seventh one is going to come and God's judgment will be finished. And then we will be ushered into the millennial kingdom and into eternity with the Lord. As we close, God is great. We started looking at this chapter by seeing seven things that God describes as great. We've seen in this chapter that his wrath is great, but we've also seen his mercy is great. And here, people had a chance to repent. They refused to repent, and so it is on earth today. So it is for you today. If you've never accepted and chosen the mercy of God and the sacrifice of his blood on Calvary for you, then now's the chance. Today is the appointed time. You can trust Christ today and his shed blood, because all those who reject the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Calvary will one day receive wrath without any kind of mercy at all. May God help us as we witness and share the righteousness of Christ that is given to those who receive his mercy and truth. Let's pray. Father, pray this morning that if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice who has never received Christ,